Trying to figure out how much time I have here. Okay. 9:36. Okay. I have 2 hours. All right. I forgot to mention that Ryan Granucci, Tom's son, okay, is going to be carrying out some pastoral duties Saturday, and is going to be officiating a wedding. So, and well, that's a good thing. It's also it's his first wedding. And it would be an advantage, Ryan, if you already married, having been through one. But that's okay. Okay, we won't go there. Okay. But it's a wonderful opportunity to serve and minister. And I want us to pray for you, because in that setting, it's such an important setting and such a life-changing situation. And I know you're going to be nervous, okay? And but you know, that's those opportunities for the Lord to speak through you and bring his presence through you to everybody who's there. So let's pray for Ryan, okay? Lord Jesus, what a wonderful opportunity you've given Ryan to minister in your name, to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and help a couple come together in faith and launch their marriage in the right foot, on the right foundation. And so, Father, we pray as Ryan brings your spirit and message to this couple and to the wedding party and to everyone who attends, that he may do with great boldness and confidence of the message, Father. So equip him during rehearsal and the wedding for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can tell him you're from Venice Church, too. Unless you mess up, then you're... Kidding, we're kidding, okay. You know, in Acts chapter 19, there's a wonderful story about Paul who goes to a city called Ephesus in present-day Turkey, and as he is there, he spends a couple of years there, and there's a wondrous and marvelous revival that takes place there. It says he taught the word for 2 years and told people about Jesus, and as a result of that, the Lord was able to use that. And as he used that and spoke through Paul, miracles took place all over the place. It was a wonderful demonstration of the Lord's power. And one of the results of that time, in Acts chapter 19, verse 18, it says that, that the name of the Lord was held in high honor. Anytime we have a revival, the name of the Lord is held in high honor. Amen? And held in high honor, not only in our hearts and our minds, but also in our behavior and in our lives. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. They had a confession testimony service right there spontaneously. And people were sharing about their evil deeds. Goes on to say the number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And they calculated the value of the scrolls was worth a fortune. They willingly gave it up because they had been transformed by the message in presence of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful demonstration. I want to focus in on one thing that did happen and talk about that today in our talk. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. And so today I want to talk about confessing sins. Confessing sins. And I know you might want to catch, maybe I shouldn't have come to church today because... Do I have to? Okay. Let's turn to James chapter 5. It's toward the back of the Bible. James chapter 5, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. So if you get in that area, Jude and then Revelation, we want to talk about confessing sins. James chapter 5, starting from verse 13. James chapter 5, starting from verse 13. Is any of you in trouble? How many of us can relate to that? The rest of you are denying. Okay. Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. If we wanted to launch a revival in our church, in our community, there's several keys here in this particular scripture. If you wanted to heal a relationship, if you wanted to restore to a brother or sister in Christ, this is one of the key elements to be restored, not only to God, but to those around us. Confess your sins to one another. Let's quickly make a couple note of a couple things. It says, confess your sins, as opposed to telling someone else their sin. You know what I mean? Who does that? We all do. It's so easy, isn't it, to see someone else's fault? Isn't it so easy? Well, I can tell when somebody else messes up. Oh, yeah, it's easy. Me mess up? No, I don't mess up. And so the first thing we notice, it says, confess your sins. Not necessarily point out someone else's. We're so adept at seeing the sins of others. We are eagle-eyed when it comes to other sins. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to confess our sins. He reinforces this in Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be used to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Even Jesus, who was qualified to judge, it says of him in John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen? Let's make another observation. Secondly, we need one another to experience complete healing and victory from sin. We need one another because it says the prayer of a righteous person, what? It's powerful and effective. Leads to healing. The prayer of a righteous person, praying for someone who has confessed, leads to healing. And so that means if we've wronged someone, we need to confess to that person. To that person. I've heard a lot of end-arounds on that one. End-around is a way to kind of get around that, but kind of do the same thing. You know what I mean? I was just kidding. I hope you didn't take me seriously. Have you heard that one? Geez, can't you take a joke? It was only a joke. No, it wasn't. But can't you take a joke? Like it's our fault because we're overly sensitive or something. Let me buy you an ice cream. See, we kind of deflect it and say, oh, let me do something for you that kind of overcomes what I did to you, you know, already. And there's a lot of ways that we kind of, and I've counseled many people, I know that the person loves me. How do you know? Well, you know, and then we do this end-around stuff about how we look at behavior. Beloved, confession is the way to start the relationship reconciliation process. Confession. I did this, and I apologize. Will you forgive me? Let's be mature enough to say it right. Amen? Let's be mature enough. Brings down our walls, humbles us. You know, and being humbled is a good thing. It may hurt, but it's a good thing. Being humbled is a good thing. It may hurt, but confession brings down our walls and other person's walls so we can reconnect. person called me one time, and this person had misunderstood something I had said. At least my intention was to say it in a helpful, positive way, but she took it badly. She really was going at me, you know. Yelling at me, and I saw that it was perceived badly. What I did was perceived badly. And so I simply said, even though I said, well, you know, it wasn't my intention, and I didn't mean it that way, you know, and I had a defense. But I saw that what I had said was hurtful. And so I said, well, I apologize for that. And, you know, she suddenly stopped. And it was almost like she didn't know where to go with that, because she couldn't keep on the same place, the same level. And suddenly we started talking like persons again. See, confession has that ability to help us reconnect. It truly does. It truly does. So that we can be reestablished. And then when we hear a confession, what are we supposed to do? Forgive. Forgive. One of the saddest things I saw, and I knew that this marriage was going to have a difficult time. I was counseling a couple, not from this church, and I'm not going to use their names, but I was counseling this couple, and I was trying to work them towards admitting their problems or how they contributed to the difficulty in the marriage. And finally, the guy says, you know, I messed up, and I just want you to know I'm sorry and I apologize. And I looked at her and waited to see what she would do. And she wouldn't say it. She would not accept the apology and would not forgive. I took her aside and I said, you know, you missed something there. You missed an opportunity to restore the relationship because you didn't forgive. And she was firm. Not going to. And I knew that that relationship was going to be headed in the wrong direction and keep going in the wrong direction because she wouldn't forgive. Matthew 6, Jesus says, if you forgive men their sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. See, do you see a connection? Our forgiving those who wrong us is connected to God forgiving us. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whoa. This verse has another application too, as far as to confess to someone who is not affected by our sin. See, the first application is for those who are, whom we've wronged, and so we need to confess and apologize. The second one is to those who aren't touched by that. So when these people who confessed that they were involved in sorcery in Acts chapter 19, they didn't necessarily single certain people out. They just knew they had done wrong. And so they confessed that publicly to the group. And why confess to someone else? Well, one of the main reasons is because their prayer for us is powerful and helps us be restored and healed. Verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. They admitted their wrong and openly confessed to those listening. The adult speaker at family camp a week ago, he was really good. He was funny. He was personable. He was enjoyable. But one of the things I just really appreciated, because we didn't know him, so you had to spend some, you know, when I speak with you, you kind of know me, and so you know I don't have to do a lot of introductory kind of stuff because you know who I am, the jerk I am already. But the speaker at camp, we don't know him, so he spent quite a bit of time introducing himself, which is good. We need to find out who he is. And half that introduction to himself, he was telling us his previous life, and it was pretty messy. It was very messy. And I appreciate that about him. He was willing to be very open about his previous life and then move on from there about how the Lord had saved him. So it was really very, very powerful. His life hadn't affected us, But his confession opened the door for us to hear and opened the door for the Holy Spirit to move in our congregation there at Family Camp. It was a great thing. So that you may be healed. Do we need healing? All kinds. All kinds, don't we? Because sin causes physical problems, doesn't it? Oh, yes. Sin causes guilt. Sin causes fear. We get afraid that people are going to find out. Sin causes anxiety. Sin causes worry. Sin causes dread that, oh, we're going to get punished for this. There's all kinds of things that happen when we have unconfessed sin in our hearts, in our lives. And confession. And all those stress us physically. We get heart problems. We get headaches. We get digestive problems. We get nerves. We become paranoid. I think people are against us. I think people see things in us. We start distancing ourselves from people. All that fear and paranoia and stress needs to be healed. Needs to be healed. And the Lord Jesus, the prayer of the person can restore us. Sin causes us to distrust and despise ourselves, and so our image of ourselves needs to be healed. Sin causes fractures in relationship, that needs to be healed too. So much gets in the way. And so the theme for the day is confess your sins one to another. And if the Lord is speaking to you this morning and has raised something up in your heart, oh man, I can't let that sit there. Let me invite you. That may be the Holy Spirit prompting you. He says, you know, you need to deal with this and you need to apologize to someone whom you wounded and or have someone pray for you because of something you've done. Because the prayer of that person can be powerful and effective. Amen. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit just to kind of work through us. Just to kind of work through us. Search our hearts. And as we meditate and think, let the Lord take you where He needs to take you. And if He takes you somewhere, please follow the trail. And find the reconciliation and redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, walk close to us. Touch our hearts and our lives. If there's unconfessed sin, Father, I pray that you would give us the humility to deal with it in a God-honoring way, that our lives might be reflecting of that you are our Savior and Lord, and do what we need to do to confess our sins, especially to those if we've wronged someone, but to confess anyway. So that we can be prayed for and healed. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Please stand as we close the service. Let's just bring glory to God for all that He does for us. Amen.